once again to Borat Club. It is episode 43, I think, of Borat Club. We have just, Ryan, watched the movie for the 43rd of 52 times.
Whew.
And it's a very special week because we've drafted in a ringer to help us get over our sorrows following the great meltdown, I guess, we had a few days ago. So yeah, John Machansky, you are here on the show with Ryan and I this week.
Hi, folks, and hello to both of you. I just think that I will come out and say that there's a desperation in this podcast right now. There is fear I can feel. There's anger. There's hurt.
Yes.
There's a lot of very negative emotions around here, but all understandable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going into this watch today, when I got up, I was real worried that, like, we were gonna be very down in the dumps. You know, the news that Borat 2, great success, as you informed us it was going to be called. Knowing that's coming, like, it really took the wind out of our sails, I think, Ryan. It really ruined my week.
It was kind of a weird thing, huh? Because when the announcement dropped and we recorded that episode, I think we were both in a very bad way. Now, at this point, I just feel like I'm a little resigned, you know? I've just kind of accepted it. I think I am not as down about it as you are, though, because I am just ready. I am very anxious to see what this movie will be, and we know now that it's going to be apparently called Borat 2 Great Success. And it is, as John informed us, going to tackle Mike Pence, Rudy Giuliani, I guess Donald Trump, the coronavirus, etc., etc.
So Epstein,
just kind of the barest of bare bone low hanging fruits that we sort of thought this movie would address is definitely going to be what this movie addresses.
Yeah, it will. And, you know, I feel like for anybody that hasn't heard yet, you can go back. It's now like two episodes ago because we put out last week's episode today at time of recording. But you can go back and find our emergency special where we just sort of let our emotions loose on Borat 2, I think is a good way to put it.
Now hold on. We let our emotions go on the concept of Borat 2, the sort of announcement of Borat 2. We have yet to get our hands on the actual text of Borat 2, and I think we're going to have many more emotions than the ones that we displayed in that particular episode.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I was real scared coming into this. I thought this would be really bad, but John, we drafted you in, and I think the energy you brought, because of you, we had more laughs during this watch than I think we've had since maybe watch 3 or 4. you know, you really helped brighten the room and sort of lift my spirits, at least, and maybe Ryan's as well.
I felt pretty good.
Yeah, I feel better than I had expected to. And I guess the first thing, John, that we always ask people when they come on is, you know, what is your history with Borat like, and how did you feel watching it here today? Like, did you enjoy it? Did you love it? Is it your favorite movie ever?
Well, my feeling is, I guess I'll say my history first. My history is that I was there when this idea was birthed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a proud to say that the first watch of Borat that you both did, I was also there.
You were.
And I was kind of half paying attention. I remember I was messing with some, like, games. I think I was messing around with an emulator or something. But I just remember hearing you all watch it and, you know, watching it also, and just being amazed at how absolutely abhorrent it was. And let me tell you, it's still abhorrent.
Still pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't get better. It doesn't get better with subsequent watches. Who would have thunk? But I had a good time watching it. And I know that, like, Sylvia and some other folks have said the same thing, that just, like, watching it with you two does make it a lot more fun, just because, like, you know, I laugh at the stuff that you all have riffed on, and I just think about all the, like, good-ass comedy that y'all have done in the past. Like, it's a good time to watch a dumb thing with your friends, and I'm glad to share this moment with you. That's basically my takeaway.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Like, you know, I do think it is worth saying that, like, you know, you did very... Or, no, you were very smart, I think, to sit out the opportunity to become part of Borat Club right off the bat, mm-hmm. because this really was, like you said, it was a thing I put on sort of as a joke, and over the course of us watching it, like, we just sort of decided we were going to do this.
It became extremely real in that Discord call.
yeah, I feel like you sort of were the one who got to sit there and see the, like, joke idea for a show we'd been kicking around for like 2 years, like, crystallize and become a real thing, which is like pretty horrifying in some ways, I feel like. But I guess it's good to know that you weren't completely miserable watching it, that, you know, because I feel like we've definitely had people on, I feel like Sylvia definitely was, like, miserable watching it, and a few others, maybe.
I totally don't blame anybody who just hates it, because, you know, it is very bad, and, like, I do hate it on concept. It is more just that it is funny because it is the movie that you two have made this podcast about that I have laughed at. It is... I am so separated from this film. Like, if this podcast did not exist, I probably would not have laughed. It's that kind of thing where I had fun because it was with you two, because it was for this podcast. Otherwise, it was garbage. You know, like, the politics of the movie is garbage. The jokes are completely unfunny. I think that there are some people in the film that are funny just based on how they react to him in a very human way that is endearing. And, you know, like the driving instructor and the guy who's trying to sell the car, like, they are just trying to do their job, and it is this snapshot of America that, you know, like, Borat is trying to showcase the worst of America, and I think it does a bad job in the sense that it is that whole... satire needs to have a specific target, and it can't just be that thing. Mm-hmm. But I think at times, Borat is a good snapshot of the good of America, where people just want to do what they need to do and are relatively accepting of others, and they just want to live their life. And, you know, that might also be a condemnation of how America is, in the sense that, you know, a lot of people are just having to put up with weird shit because they have to for their job, and that is something that people shouldn't have to do, you know? Like, Borat, you know, saying that he wants to kill people at the car dealership, like, that dude should have just been like, yeah, no, leave, instead of being like, well, I have to do this because I have to sell this fucking car, because if I don't, I get fired, and I'll be, you know, like... It's, like, if the movie wrestled with that, maybe it would be more interesting, but of course not, because that is too highbrow for, oh, I'm just going to say these slurs, isn't that funny?
Right, yeah. I mean, I do feel, though, like the guy who's selling the cars is probably the second best character in this whole movie, because he, like, his delivery is so just deadpan and so great, where he's just like, oh, well, you know, if you hit him at 30, 45 miles an hour, you'd probably kill him, or, you know, whatever, like...
Wow.
I'm just like, yeah.
Jeez.
He's like, look, they're not gonna, he's not gonna actually do any of this shit. There's a camera right here. This is a joke. Just if I can get them to buy this car, whatever, I'll take it. Like, that's basically what that guy's doing.
Yeah, him and the driving instructor both, I feel like, kind of understand that something is going on, mm-hmm. and they're like among the very few people in the movie who key in what's happening around them and like mm-hmm. what they're in for here, I guess, yeah. and sort of just go with it, as opposed to like just being like, oh yeah, this is a serious thing, I'm gonna keep being racist like the rodeo guy or whatever, mm-hmm. like, or I'm just gonna be awful because I think nobody will see this, like the students or whatever, you know.
Mm. Something else I've noticed is how you know, like, I don't know if this is something that Sacha Baron Cohen has like changed his mind about and has focused more on leaders, because like the scene with the two Congress people, those scenes are like some of the shorter scenes in the movie, and there's no context to who they are or what their policies are or and why Borat would be harassing them. Like, you have to look them up to be like, oh yeah, no, they're pieces of shit. And, you know, like, it's like, it's nothing, you know? It's just, oh, I'm gonna feed this guy some yeah. cheese. Like, if he did that to AOC, it would be the exact same thing. There's no joke at the expense of what that person stands for, what any of that happens. Like, it's just blank bullshit that means nothing, and that's just what Borat is. It's just middle of the road, just trying to be something that says something and saying absolutely nothing and just taking the side of the wrong people inadvertently. It is South Park shit. It is just bad, bad, bad politics, bad jokes, just nothing to say. Absolutely nothing to say.
Yeah, like, with the Bob Barr and Alan Keyes stuff specifically, you're right, like, all you kind of get is here's their name and here's that they were like part of the Republican Party, like in the little lower third that they get, like that's it. Mm-hmm. So like, if you don't know already like their politics or what they stand for or their histories, that's just like, they may as well be just any dude in a suit, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter that they're members of the Republican Party. It doesn't matter that they were at the time relatively high ranking, you know, congressmen or whatever. Like, they're just two dudes. Like, if you don't know that they're awful, like homophobes or mm-hmm. whatever, like, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean anything mm-hmm. other than like for Borat to be racist and to give one of them like breast milk cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things I think is also just sort of inherent to the movie itself, because I think that as time goes on, you definitely see him doing more of like this political comedy, right, with Who Is America or whatever that show is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at the time when this came out, if you were in American politics or like, you know, knew that kind of thing, you would know who these people are. But considering we're watching it 14 years later, who fucking knows, right? And it's going to be the same thing when in Borat 2 Great Success, he interviews whatever 2-bit like Trump cronies he can get his hands on, like, you know, right. 15 years from now, mm-hmm. no one's going to know who those people are. And so I definitely agree with what we've said and what John has said about there not really being a joke there. But mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that he has such this high opinion of this political comedy that he made that into like his thing, you know, like he was like, oh, this is so funny when I made the man eat the breast milk cheese. This is just going to be my bit for the rest of my life.
Yeah, like those people are deserving of ridicule and shame, yeah. But
absolutely.
It's for what they say and what they do, not, you know, haha, isn't it funny? Like, it's not yeah. funny. They're evil, evil people. Like, that is what should be brought up, and, you know, Borat isn't gonna do that. You know, like, it's just, you know, you think about what Sacha Baron Cohen is so adamant about now. He is very adamant about Facebook spreading hate and, you know, misinforming the public, and that is absolutely true, and that is like, you know, it's a good mm-hmm. thing that he talks about that. Like, I watched his speech on, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, and he's a very eloquent and very smart person about that. But
yeah.
you just know in Borat 2 there's going to be a part where Borat's gonna log on to Facebook and he's going to just be like, "Where is the pornography? I need to see it." And then he's gonna click on something and he's gonna like become a Trump supporter because he got like led down the path of being a Trump supporter from Facebook. Yeah. And but it's not really gonna say anything about it. It's just going to present it as something that occurred. And you know, it's not gonna like. And I should say, I don't think that things need to be plainly spread out to you. Like, you don't have to.
No.
You know, write out, you know, Facebook is bad, but it's not going to be as well presented as he thinks it's going to be. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I feel like Sasha, like, especially when you watch Who is America, or what very little of it I've seen, his whole thing is that he gives his audience no credit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't think you're smart enough to get the joke or to get the like meaning behind it or to understand that he's painting these people in a certain light or that, you know, that like he's shining a light on these people who are awful and like leaving it up to you to understand that he sort of has to go out of his way to tell you that, you know, like he just doesn't seem to give you as an audience member credit, which I mean, maybe you could say that's, you know, you got to play to the lowest common denominator or whatever, but I feel like he's got some real sapiosexual energy to him and the way he, like, attacks things that just makes me, like, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
So, John, what was your favorite part of the movie? What was your least favorite part of the movie?
Well, that's difficult to say because it's kind of hard to say a favorite one. I mean, I think I probably felt the most actually, like, fun part was probably the driving instructor bit, just because I just really liked that guy.
He's great. I love that guy.
He has this, like, stern sense. He is very much no-nonsense, I am going to teach you how to drive, and, you know, I don't appreciate it that you lied about knowing how to drive and all that, but... And not taking any of Borat's shit, none of his misogynistic shit, but he's also got this, like, just sense of humor about it, too, where he's just like, you know what, fuck it, this dude's just a weird guy who's fucking around, I'm just gonna live with it as long as nobody gets actually hurt, it's fine, I'm not gonna give him a license, though.
Yeah, he's, like, I really appreciate that he has this, like, real, like... sort of stern dad, like stern but fair dad vibe to him, you know. Obviously he's got some great like line delivery with "you must not hit the children," I could be your boyfriend, I could be boyfriend or whatever, like, but he's such a real person, you know, like he understands what he's in and he figures out exactly what he's in and he just goes with it, but he's also like just being himself, you know, and he's just a real person, like, and I can totally buy that if I called him up tomorrow and was like, "I need a driving lesson," that's exactly what that lesson would be like, where he's yelling at me because I don't know how to drive an automatic or whatever, like, it's I can absolutely see that
totally. And then the worst part, I feel like my answers are like the fucking underhand like tosses for this film, but like the feminist scene has no, it doesn't even tie back to his character.
No,
like,
right,
like, yeah, Borat is a misogynist, he is a shitty person, but there's parts of that where he is very much just like, I need to be as shitty as possible to make these women mad. Like, the specific part is the part where he, like, asks the lady to smile, and that really stuck out to me in a, like, I know this is just crazy to say, but, like, a Borat wouldn't do that. It was, like, super out of character for him to, like, say something as just basically misogynistic as that. It was so generic, so just by the books. There's not even any creativity to the shittiness. And, like, that's the number one worst, okay. That's the number two worst part of that scene, other than just the fact that he's being a shithead, is that it's just,
right.
there's nothing new to it. There's nothing to add. He didn't try anything different. At the very least, he has a character in every other scene in this movie. In that scene, he's just reading the misogynist playbook. He is just, I need to harass women. It's so lame. It's fucking Gamergate Twitter. Like, that's all he did was that. It fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's like an interesting like take on it, because I feel like Ryan and I have talked before about like how it is just the like most base, like boring, like anti-feminist jokes that you've been hearing for the last 30 years or whatever. But like the idea that he's like kind of dropping the character even when he's in there is something we haven't really gotten to in that particular scene, but we have gotten to it in a couple of other scenes, like when he's on the morning show or whatever, where he's supposed to be this TV pro who suddenly doesn't know how to act in front of a camera. Like, there are these little moments during the movie where the Borat that he establishes as a person kind of drops in favor of just going for the easiest and laziest like joke that he could do at that point. And it's a real like, it's a real indictment, I think, of him as a comedian, as a creative person. Like, I think it is just so, like, it's almost like insulting to Borat as a character in some way, that like he doesn't even have the like chops to stay true to the character that he's walking around telling you that he is, you know. Like, it's just shit.
It really is. I would almost argue that for the scene at the news station, I could see that, you know, he's usually standing in a lot of his, like, newscasts or videos and all that, so that could maybe be a little bit, but I don't know. It's all over the place. It's definitely all over the place, and I do agree that he does, like, flirt in and out with the established character that he has made. You know, maybe some scenes were shot earlier and he was... Because, I mean, obviously he had been Borat on the Ali G show before, but you know, maybe he was like, you know, maybe I want Borat to just be more like this or more like this, because, you know, this was I feel like this was a much wider audience thing than the Ali G show. Am I correct? Was that something that like a lot of people were aware of before this?
I know the Ali G show was huge in the UK, and I was definitely aware of it, although I hadn't ever seen it in Ireland. From what I know, I think they're like, from talking to people just about Borat in general, and from a few people that have been like on the podcast over the course of doing this, I think it was on HBO over in the United States, so
okay.
I would assume people were aware of it, but it certainly wasn't like something that was the hugest thing in the world, like this movie wound up being, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been to pull it off, you know? I mean, that's probably why he specifically went to America, because he couldn't get away with it as much in Europe, and now it's impossible to do it anywhere. And because, like, you know, he had to run through his characters, because, you know, Borat happened, and then Borat became a huge thing, and then he was like, well, now I have to do Bruno, because I didn't even know Bruno was also from the Ali G show until later, because, you know, I was much younger. I never saw either of them in theaters. I, you know, Borat, I'm pretty sure, was, like, before I was even really allowed to go to R-rated movies. I don't know. I'm bad with numbers, and maybe I might have been, but I don't remember. I just wouldn't have gone to something like that. That's not really something my family would have gone to. I remember I have a pretty weird and embarrassing story about the first time I was allowed to watch an R-rated comedy.
Okay.
So I wasn't like necessarily told not to do any of that. Like, I wasn't like told, no, you can't sit down and watch, you know, an R-rated film. But for some reason, around my 16th birthday. It was my 15th or 16th birthday. My parents were like, okay, you're old enough to watch an adult movie. So we're going to sit you, my stepdad at the time and I, they specifically sat me down to watch There's Something About Mary.
Okay. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
And we just sat there and watched it, and they treated it like it was this big coming-of-age thing to watch an adult R-rated comedy. And I'm, like, pretty sure I had seen R-rated films in the past, but they treated it like it was this big, big deal, and it wasn't that good, you know? It was not funny, you know, especially looking back at a lot of that still, like... I would not condone watching that film again in 2020, but it was such a bizarre time to just be sat down and be like, okay, you are a man now, John. There's Something About Mary.
It's funny that you say that, because that same thing happened to me, except the movie was Borat. No shit. That was this for me. I had been... like, growing up, and my parents were like, okay, it's about time that you were able to watch R-rated movies, so here's a really funny one, and we did watch Borat, and I think that was either the first R-rated movie I saw with my parents, or it was Pulp Fiction. I can't remember which came first, but those were definitely the first two, and I remember thinking Borat was the fucking funniest shit I'd ever seen, and... that's why we went to go see Bruno when it came out in theaters, and I was still like 14 or 15, and we were like traumatized by it. It's so bad. That movie is so bad.
Like, I definitely remember laughing at some of the bits and There's Something About Mary, but it wasn't like this revelatory experience. It wasn't something that was like, oh my god, you could have never seen that before you turned 15. Like, they were shielding me from the part where Ben Stiller uses his own nut as hair gel. That's what they were really shielding me from. Like, I don't know. I mean, at that point, I'd probably had seen worse online, so it wasn't anything.
I think for me, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I would have been like 13, and I have this memory of like, my cousin was staying with us for like whatever reason, and my mom was out of town, so my dad took me, my cousin, and my brother, who would have been 8 at that point, to see American Wedding, the third American Pie movie. And not long into that movie, there's just, like, full-on, like, female nudity. And my dad just, like, stood up and took my brother out. And just, like, left me and my cousin, who were both, like, 13 years old. Maybe not even 13, because that would have been, like, a summer movie. So I would have been, like, 12, about to turn 13. And we were just sitting there, like, yeah, I guess we're watching this. So...
wonderful.
Like, yeah, God. Yeah, Ryan, your story about Borat and Bruno, every time I hear it, is just like, it's like a punch to the stomach.
It's earth-shattering, isn't it? Like
yeah.
It's so funny that this is the movie we're doing, because Borat was a very foundational building block of like my movie taste, in the sense of like moving into the realm of adult film, and not that kind of adult film, but, you know, like adult
right.
comedies.
Yes.
And
mature.
Well, I don't know. That being said, this was probably the first time I'd ever seen a man's whole dick and balls and asshole out in like a theatrical film. But I just remember it very vividly. Like, my parents were really into Pulp Fiction when I was growing up, and so they would quote it all the time. And by the time I saw Pulp Fiction, I was like, oh, this is like a coming of age. And Borat was part of that, because it had come out, and my parents were always like, oh, it's so bad. Like, oh, it's so, like, not bad bad, but like, oh, it's funny bad, you know? Like, ooh, it's right. so naughty. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this sounds like so wild. I really want to see this. And I did, and I was like, yeah, you're right. That was wild. And now, thinking back on it, and just thinking back on, like, me, my parents, and my two friends and their parents all being there, so like 7 of us going in to see Bruno on its theatrical release, and just like being mouth agape horrified at that film. I'm really interested to get to Bruno on this, because I remember it being like objectively worse than Borat, and I feel like the sheer amount of like homophobia and kind of gay jokes in that is going to age it worse than this movie has. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to that movie and getting to see the bit where he swings his dick around like a windmill again, because I know that is like fully in this in that film.
Yeah, I'm like really worried about how it's going to have aged with all the just because Bruno's whole thing is that it's a one big gay joke.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
and I can only imagine how that's going to look in 2020. Like, ugh.
I can't help but think there's going to be gay jokes in that that are so bad that I can't help but laugh at them. You know, like just holy shit. But I don't know. We're not here to talk about Bruno. We're here to talk about our 43rd watch of the hit 2006 film Borat. I think he should have. I think he should have kept going with the B names. You know, like we had Borat then Bruno, and I think we could have fit one more in there to be like a trilogy. But I guess now Borat 2 is kind of the bookend.
Yeah, but like let's shop this around here. Like, what kind of stereotype would he have left to go to after like the Eastern European man, the gay man? Like what else could he have been wildly offensive about?
Mental health, probably. Like, just been straight up somebody like walking on the streets in a straitjacket or something like that. I feel like that's too low even for him. I think the next evolution of his comedy would have been for him to like do not necessarily the gay stereotype, but the really like mincing liberal kind of like, you know, oh, my pronouns are attack helicopter, which he's done, which he's done.
Yes.
But I'm shocked that he hasn't done a movie of like just that at this point, which maybe is going to be what Borat 2 is. I don't know.
Yeah, I could see him having done definitely like a West Coast US, like LA, like liberal, like type. Like, I feel like if he had waited on Bruno, he probably would have done it like between Borat and Bruno as like this sort of like, not to use an extremely dated term here, but metrosexual type of like, isn't it like fucked up that this straight guy like washes his hair, like kind of character or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that was almost like if Bruno hadn't existed as a character on Ali G, I feel like that's maybe where he would have gone. Like just this like examination of American toxic masculinity. But I have no faith in him either to do that correctly anyway, so who cares? No. Really, like, he would have been like Butch the bodybuilder or whatever. Like,
I feel like that has to be something he's done, right? Like a
almost certainly,
Tom of Finland sort of bodybuilder stereotype kind of thing.
Yeah, I know he did the Mossad agent, which is very much that kind of like over the top tough guy like bit he was doing on Who Is America.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Like, he was like this like Krav Maga like expert or whatever. Just like I think the bit in the episode of Who Is America I watched was he was going to like a gun range or something like that, or like talking to some gun rights guy as
I think the infamous bit from that is that he is that character and he convinces some Republican politician to fund like kindergarten cop program where the kindergartners had to shoot like stuffed animal guns something like that. Like, just really really stupid shit. God, I don't know. I feel like the final frontier for him is to sort of fold in on himself and like do a movie kind of like a deconstruction of himself where he plays like a director or like a comedian who's playing these characters, but I don't think he would ever be that self-aware, right, to kind of turn that dark mirror of introspection back on himself. So I don't know.
No, I could see maybe a thing where, let's say, because Who Is America didn't do great and it didn't get good reviews, let's say Borat 2 comes out and it doesn't do great, it doesn't, you know, get heralded as the funniest thing to ever happen. Uh-huh. Like, I could see him making something that is sort of introspective, but is like sort of along the Kevin Smith, Jay and Silent Bob sort of like lines of it actually being like a cinematic tantrum over people like saying that he's kind of shit and sucks at his job.
Yeah.
You know, like I could see him going down that route. But I can't see him genuinely ever being introspective and taking a look at himself and whether he has become Jerry Seinfeld and is just now so old that he just doesn't understand the world around him.
I mean, I feel like he's pretty on track to that already. I will be shocked if there is nothing just like head groaning, head in hands, like offensive and Borat 2. And if there isn't, I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I know there's going to be at least one joke that's like, come on, man. Like, you got to be fucking kidding me. It's 2020. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll see. I think, I don't know. I think after Borat 2, he either really doesn't make a whole lot of major movies anymore, or he goes the path of like Dana Carvey or like Mike Myers or, you know, a comedian like that where he sort of peaks and then burns out. And then is just voicing like a cartoon dog with like one really bad live action movie or something like that. But who yeah. fucking knows? I really have no idea.
Maybe he goes full on Sandman. Maybe he signs that Netflix deal and he's just churning out shit comedies for the rest of his life. Like, who knows? Like,
yeah.
At some point I would really love, and I don't think he's going to be the one to do it. I think maybe the like current generation of comedians in 15 years, you might start getting them like making these movies about like how they're having to come to terms with the fact that they've aged out and that they're not funny anymore and that nobody cares about their shit. Mm-hmm. Like,
there've been a couple movies like that already, haven't there? Like,
probably, but I would love to see somebody on that like huge level of a Sacha Baron Cohen actually genuinely make this like as an introspective thing and just come to terms with it and just go and do his musicals or like dramatic acting, because he can do that.
Yeah, I think he should just do dramatic acting and keep all of his political opinions to like the world stage instead of the movie stage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would just be smart for him to just do speaking from now on, you know? Like, I mean, because that's the thing, is that people remember Borat. People keep that in the back of their mind. They think that it holds up. They don't revisit it, but they remember it. If he coasted on that and just came out and was like, hey, I'm coming out to speak against these bad things, to talk about how Mark Zuckerberg is ruining the world, that would have been great. Like, I remember as soon as that dropped, a bunch of people were like, yeah, no, Sacha Baron Cohen's a genius. And I was like, yeah, no, this is really smart. This is really good stuff that he's talking about. This is true. But it all feels so shallow once you remember Borat and you realize that he hasn't changed because he's making Borat 2.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like he's almost undermining himself by making Borat 2. Like, yeah. His very like well-informed opinions on privacy and like misinformation and all this good stuff that he's actually saying and coming out with is ruined by the fact that he's going to go out there on Netflix in any amount of time and go like, wah, wah, wee, wah, look at the trans person, or wah, wah, wee, wah, gays, or whatever. Like, yeah. You know, like, it's just going to be, or like, as soon as he does a bit in Borat where he's like, wah, wah, wee, wah, I'm here at the children's school, I'm gonna take them to my private island in the Bahamas, wah wah wee wah, like, you're just gonna be like, oh my god.
Like,
you know, it's just gonna he's just gotta stop. He's gotta go away. Borat needs to be retired. Bruno needs to be retired. Ali G needs to be retired. Ali G, I'm pretty sure,
I think he is retired.
Yeah, he is retired. I don't think he's done that in many, many years. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, canonical town that Ali G was from changed its name in real life because it didn't want to be associated with Ali G. Like, I'm pretty sure that's an actual thing that happened. So, like, that's like the level that Sacha Baron Cohen is operating at, that, like, a town changed its name not be associated with him. Like, he's just got to stop. He's just got to...
I mean, we're going to change our name.
Go and give his speeches.
We're going to change our name not to be associated with him, so...
that's also true. Yeah, I mean, eventually this won't be Borat Club. This will be fucking... Borat Club Club or something.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're going to call this.
No. But, okay, yeah. Yeah, so John, I guess before we sort of put a bow on this and fucking stop thinking about Borat for a little while, you know, there are certain things that we always ask people, and one of them is... how would you feel about watching Borat again? Like, do you think you could ever watch Borat again? Are you going to watch Borat 2? You're the first person we could ask this. Like, how stoked for Borat 2 are you based on this? When will you be watching it? Will you be watching it? Like, what do you expect from it?
So, I pretty purposefully spaced out my watchings of Borat.
Yes.
You know, I watched it with you all the first time, and now I have watched it here. If I had the same amount of time, and if it was with, like, you or with somebody else who I could just, like, crack wise about it, I might. I wouldn't be, like, stoked about it, but it's not the most harmful thing I could do. And for Borat 2, kind of the same thing. I wouldn't watch it by myself, but if you all watched it, I would join in, absolutely.
That's probably, like... probably the, like, most positive reaction we've had to that question, I feel like.
No, yeah, you know, it's not something that I'm like, oh my god, I want to do it again, I want to do it again, but, you know, I'm
sure.
I'm not opposed to, like, look, I watch dumb shit on YouTube constantly. I am always watching bad content creators just to crack wise at them. This is, like, water off a duck's back.
Yeah. Because it is easy to watch, right? Like, it is, for all its fault, like, it is snappy. Fairly quick.
It's very snappy, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That is, like, its greatest asset still, I feel like, is it's just easy to watch. You sit down and it's over before you know it, and, like, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, John, if you don't have anything else... if you don't have anything else you want to say about Borat, Ryan, if you don't have anything you want to say about Borat, I think personally I don't really have anything else to talk about as far as SBC goes, other than, you know, I did think about the possibility during this week that this new movie's going to drop on my birthday, and I really hope that doesn't happen. So we'll wait and see. But if either of you have any more comments about Borat, let's...
Absolutely not. I have run out of power. This was a fun time with you all, but also I've had enough of this man. I have joined you all in, if I have to continue to see Sacha Baron Cohen, there will be issues.
Yeah,
I feel about the same way, John, but I still have 9 more episodes of this, so I the issues will continue.
The issues will ramp up, it feels like.
Yeah, I am so fucking frightened for this second movie to come out, because I'm gonna be honest, we have it pretty good on this podcast, right? Like, we have things pretty gravy in terms of the movie we're watching. We're not watching, like, a 3-hour Russian science fiction film every week. We're not watching, you know, like, Plan 9 from Outer Space every week, which I think is hard to sit through. We have this very, like, snappy, like, fairly quick comedy. There's a bit in the middle with the dinner scene where it kind of drags, but overall... this movie is pretty okay as far as bad movie weekly watches go. Mm-hmm. I am so fucking scared that Borat 2 is going to be like 2 hours and just like intolerable, and we'll have to do like 4 weeks of watching that, and I don't know if I'll be able to handle it. I just don't know where it's going to fall on the spectrum, you know?
Yeah, the potential for Borat 2 to be... a very long or slow-paced movie is real, and yeah, I genuinely fear that, like, it's going to be so bad that it's going to be hard to sit through it. Whereas this, it's not good, but you can at least say it's competent and snappy, you know, and I just worry that Borat 2 is maybe going to try and be a little too memey, and it's going to try and, because, you know, they did, or based on that Collider article, they are aiming to, like, get the young people on side here to vote for Biden, so God, I just worry that it's going to be, like, a fucking Hillary Clinton campaign bit, you know, like, hello, fellow kids shit, you know, like, that's...
What if it is? What if it's just, like, an hour and 50 minutes of him, like, just campaigning for Joe Biden, and it's called Borat 2? Oh my God, that is the worst possible scenario. The worst possible scenario is that we're watching this and Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or fucking Kamala Harris or whoever shows up in the movie. Like, if that happens, I will scream out loud in real life. Let's just say that now. I think as bad as we think this movie could be, it could always be a lot worse.
I cannot even fathom how upset I am going to be if Kamala Harris or Joe Biden shows up in that movie. If he goes to, like, the DNC, I am gonna scream. If he, like, I can't deal with it. You know, like, he is definitely at some point going to be talking to somebody who is close to Trump, right? Like, that's nailed on, 100% a given.
I mean, yeah, like, Mike Pence is in the movie somehow.
Yes, Mike Pence is in the movie, which, dear fucking God, like, I'm so, oh my God, he's gonna, like, all I can picture is this, like, I have this image in my head of Borat standing in the middle with Joe Biden on one side of him and Kamala Harris on the other side of him, and they're all dabbing, and I'm just, like...
Oh, God.
Let that image work its way into your head, because that's what I'm picturing right now.
I can feel it.
I think Ryan just got up and left.
Oh, I don't blame him. Christ. Can we end this? I can't.
We can
you,
end
you,
this.
You are hurting me so bad. You are hurting me bad.
I hurt myself today, Ryan.
We all did.
Oh, God. Okay. That's it for Borat Club 43.
Thank God.
We're so close. Just 8 more weeks of this. No, 9 more weeks of this, sorry. And then we're free until we have to watch Bruno. But yeah, John Machansky, thank you so much for joining us this week on the show. You brightened our world for an hour and a half watching what could have potentially been a dark viewing of Borat. You do some stuff on the internet. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I thank you both for having me on. This was a delight. Not the movie, the experience. Yes, you can find me on Twitter at john_michonski. JOHN. I wanted to make sure that I said that because it sounded. But yes, I also run that video game choo-choo website that Niall is on. That is videogamechoochoo.com. And we do all kinds of dumb shit on there. If you like video games, we have our video game podcast as well as a bunch of writing and just general tomfoolery. We have an anime podcast where we talk about anime. We have an interview podcast where we talk to people from video games. There's all kinds of good stuff on there, so please check it out. There's not only do I do good work, Niall does good work, and so do a bunch of other people. So please come check it out. It's videogamechoochoo.com.
Ryan, you have been up to some stuff.
Yeah.
Where can people find that stuff?
I do a podcast called Emojidrome. That's at Emojidrome on Twitter or wherever you get your podcast from. We just did an episode on the... I can't even fucking remember. It was the pizza slice. So that's going to be out by the time this comes up. And I am also on Twitter, but not using Twitter much anymore. I deleted the app off my phone, except for the accounts that I run as manager. So thank God. My mental health is incredible. But you can find that at Chris Goat on Twitter. And I post there. And I will post about the projects I have going. I have a comic coming out pretty soon, so that'll be fun.
Cool. Looking forward to that. You're posting a lot about various movies you're watching as well. I feel like that's all you've been using it for lately.
Yeah, I also have a Letterboxd if anyone uses that. I think it's at Sewer Peak, P-E-A-K, and I update it pretty frequently. What about you, Niall?
Yeah, you can probably find my Letterboxd through Ryan's as well. But I don't have a personal Twitter. Borat Club does, though. It's at Borat Club. Our DMs are open. We would love to hear from you about Borat. You can also email us, BoratClubcast@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it if you left us a nice rating, a review, wherever you get your podcasts. If you told a friend about the show, we also really appreciate that. As always, you know, we don't advertise anywhere. We aren't part of a network, so the only way this thing spreads is by word of mouth. And we very much appreciate it when people do that. Until next week, I think that'll just about do it for Borat Club this week. Thank you again, John, for being on with us. Thank you, Ryan, as always, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.